Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. I have to report that Pastor Drew Sams did send me an email, but he didn't send it to me. He sent it to Dr. Weberman saying that he couldn't join us today. So that is the mix-up. I always actually love when something like this happens because it gives me the chance to think on the fly and act in the moment. And Dr. Weberman called earlier, so win, win, win. And Pastor Drew is giving a speech. Sure, people are going to be enthralled because he's an excellent speaker. So we're going to continue therapy talk with Dr. Weberman. You already heard our introduction in the previous segment. And now I'd like us to talk about unconditional love. Do you believe in it, Dr. Weberman? Do you believe there's conditions? What are your thoughts?
I love when we disagree because I think the conversation can be very interesting. I actually believe in the idea of unconditional love, and to take it a step further, I do believe that it's a parent's job, responsibility, to find unconditional love for their child. And I define unconditional love as love that does not have to be earned. It's not contingent upon a behavior or a trait. It's just given freely. And so that means that my child doesn't have to live up to my expectations, doesn't have to exceed in school or do well in sports or be the kind of person I want her to be. She just has to exist, and it's my job to love her. And then to take it another step further, I don't think this comes naturally. I think that it can be a lot of work, and it challenges us on multiple levels, spiritually and emotionally and psychologically, that when we feel like withdrawing that love, it's our job to work even harder to find it.
In your practice, I would guess you have had to deal with a lot of parents struggling with kids that had addictions, correct?
You know, I think we talked about this once before. In my particular practice, no. But of course, generally speaking, in the field of psychology, yes.
Okay, so you obviously are aware of that problem that exists way too much in our society. So parents that have children that are addicts are often advised to go to Al-Anon, which is a program for parents or loved ones of addicts. And it's very interesting that from what I understand about Al-Anon, there are a lot of conditions that are believed to be valuable to help your addict child or loved one get better. And those conditions are often what might be called tough love. So taking what you said at the beginning and turning it on its head, let's say your child or your spouse, Jason in this case, you know, did something of a serious crime, violence, how would that unconditional love you spoke of be there under those circumstances?
And I do think we should separate out when a child has mental illness. For example, an addiction is a mental illness. It is an illness. And if commit a violent crime or just turn out to be a bad person, because those are completely different things.
Okay. Let's separate out mental illness. Let's just talk about you have a bad seed, or a spouse turns out to be an embezzler, or a big cheater.
You made vows. I don't have love for my spouse, unconditional love for my spouse. I have a deep love. I have tremendous love for my spouse, but it's not unconditional because there are things
that a spouse can
do.
Okay, so you're only talking about kids then when you were talking about unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. A parent to a child.
Okay, so now tell me. Your child has just murdered somebody in the committing of a crime because he's a leader of a drug cartel. God forbid. You're going to still love him unconditionally?
It's so funny. Whenever we debate a point, it's always like, you got to come up with the most extreme, improbable example. And like, well, what about that point? I can't even say, you know, sitting here with a 10-week-old baby, how I would feel if she turned out to be a mass murderer involved with a drug cartel.
Okay, let me give you another one. What if she's 17 years old and gets drunk and gets in a car accident and kills somebody because she's drunk?
Gosh. can you imagine how the trajectory of her life will permanently be altered by making one fatal error like that?
And I don't mean your child. Obviously, let's not, that's, I don't even want to go there. I mean theoretically.
Right. Theoretically, giving unconditional love to a child doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to approve of their choices. It doesn't even mean that you don't discipline them. It doesn't mean hugs and kisses and cuddles all the time. Unconditional love, I feel like it's my job to always love her regardless of what she's struggling with. And if she makes bad decisions, maybe my unconditional love will be the thing that helps her get to the other side of it and make better choices. And yes, sometimes we make bad decisions and it has such huge negative repercussions that you would never even predict it. And then the same child can make that same bad decision and for some lucky reason, they didn't have those repercussions. They drove drunk and no one got hurt versus the other child who drove drunk and killed somebody. But the outcome is not what's going to determine whether I love my child. It's a choice to keep loving my child regardless of what she does.
I will be curious, not to be too cynical, how you feel about this with the passage of time. Again, not expecting anything negative about Serena, but if just the, as you get to know her friends, for instance, you will meet, as you will find in middle school and high school, you will learn about and meet a lot of kids that you will find pretty pathetic or not, or rotten, to really use the right word. You know, I doubt it's going to happen to your child because she's been born into such a loving environment that it would just take something horrible for her not to turn out beautiful. So, but you will encounter it. It's inevitable. And I will be curious how this might or might not change with that
experience. But could you argue that that horrible child, that's not your child or my child, just that schoolmate that goes to school with our kid and we don't like them, that horrible child maybe could have been less horrible if they were loved in the way that they needed to be loved.
Yeah, but my argument with that is every parent I know has examples in their life of the best parents they've ever seen ending up with lousy kids and the most rotten, horrible parents ever ending up with unbelievable kids. So there's a certain degree of luck, and a certain degree of God inspired results that have nothing to do with the you being a good or bad mom or dad. And that's just life. We want to think, especially someone like you or me, where we care and having our kids was such a big deal to us that we can make a difference. Now, I believe we can, but there are just sometimes many examples where it's just out of our control. Peers are so influential in our kids' lives when they get a certain age. And they don't hear a word we say starting at age 11 or 12. So if we haven't raised them with a certain degree of values that they can hold on to, God knows what will happen. So there's a degree of luck here too, Dr. Jennifer.
The nature versus nurture argument has been debated for so long. And I do believe both are very strong influences. And that's exactly what you're talking about. I mean, the nurturing part is the part that we can control. And the nature part is the part that's just genetics or God or whatever is outside of our control. And they're both factors. But I do believe
on
the nurture piece
agree.
Can influence.
Now I would like you to give some thought if you haven't. You are the parent of a bad seed. What do you do?
So we're talking about extreme things here, right? We're talking about like what you wrote in your blog, terrorist attacks and things like that.
Now, let's just say just a kid that's troubled and doing trouble, bad in school, substance abuse, not necessarily violence, but, you know, you've done everything right. You read to them, you know, you stayed at home and your two-parent household, you sent them to summer camp, and they turned out to be a bad seed. What do you do?
First of all, I don't believe in the idea of a bad seed. I do believe that a troubled child is not necessarily a bad child or a teen or even a young adult. I do believe that there's goodness and there's bad in all of us. And it's always a choice which we choose to follow. I have the little angel and the little devil on my shoulder every day telling me, do the right thing, do the wrong thing. And it's always a choice what I choose to do. I don't believe that there are bad children. I do believe there are bad choices and bad decisions and bad outcomes, but not bad children. So I think that's maybe somewhere where we disagree.
Okay. Do you believe we're born inherently good?
I believe we have both in us when we're born, and combination of environment and other factors will shape which way we follow, which shoulder we listen to.
I agree. You know, there's a friend of mine, Dennis Prager, prominent talk show host. He says he says that he believes we're born neutral at best, maybe a little bad, and that we need to be taught goodness. And the example he uses, if mom and dad are concert violinists, will their children automatically be able to play concert level violin? And the answer is, of course not. They may have an aptitude because of their parents, but they still have to be taught. Well, if mom and dad are really good people, will our kids just organically get it? Well, to some degree by the modeling, but they need to be taught. So goodness is something we as parents need to teach. And on that note, I'm going to give you the last minute to tell everybody where you can be found now that you're back to work and now that your maternity leave is over, which means you may start blogging
again. I've got one
again.
More week.
Okay,
got one
so
more week.
Tell us where we can find you,
I can be found at theparentingplayground.com. That's where I used to blog, and I will return to blogging. And on Facebook, we have a page under the same name. And on Twitter, when I come back, it will be dr_Weberman. And I will be back to Dad Chat on Thursday evenings with you.
You mean tonight?
Next week.
Oh, next week. Terrific. Do me one favor, because I have a special guest here, Thrively.com. Go to Thrively.com and register, just for me.
Fabulous.
It's free, by the way. It's free. All right, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Weberman. It's so lovely to talk to you. We got one more week. Next week's our last show.
Oh.
Well, we might have some other new incarnation. We will see. But in the meantime, thank you. Goodbye for the moment. And stay tuned, listeners, for closing remarks after these messages.
Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between.